All right, people, we're back. It's been a while, but we're back. I'm here with Pat Hanavan. I'm gonna actually let him introduce himself. So, Coach, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, listeners. Patrick Hanavan from Richmond, but originally from the Bay Area. Born and raised in Oakland, and I've been out here 20 years this Labor Day weekend.
Oh, nice.
So hello. Thanks for having me, Coach.
So, speaking about coaching, I guess, me being a college student and coming back and coaching the 5th and 6th grade state team, whatever you want to call them, I always looked up to you and the fact that your kids respond to you and you're there for more than just basketball. So kind of who was your role model, I guess, in the sense of how did you learn to be this sort of coach, I guess I'm asking.
Well, thanks. And so back at you, because I was always pretty fond of the club. You know, I looked forward to playing you guys because I'd seen you guys for a handful of years across all different levels, and all the kids really played hard. So those were really, you know, you guys were kind of our benchmark, you know, for Hoosie. It's a good question. I was pretty blessed to have some really good coaches at the youth level. This young coach came in. His name was Johnny Daniels. He was a D3 All-American at Harvey Mudd. Down at Claremont McKenna, the schools down there, and I had him for 4 years. And what I loved about him is he pushed us to our limit on the court, but he was just a great mentor off the court also. Went to a small school in San Lorenzo, California, St. John's, very, very blue collar. You know, there were a lot of hardships on the team, and he understood that. And so he was kind of the first one where I got it. I was like, hey, we could play ball here and do things on the court, but there's more to that, right? It's about, you know, taking care of your grades, being a good student, being on time, just kind of all those tangibles that you want. And then fast forward to high school, it was definitely Coach Phelps. And I say this to my kids on the team all the time, pretty much everything I do at Hoosie is what I learned from Bishop O'Dowd in Oakland. Mm-hmm. It was Coach Phelps. I think he still holds the record he's got the most wins in the state of California. But basically, it was a program from freshman to senior year, right? So you had the freshman team, the JV team, you got the varsity team, all three coaches aligned and synced with the basically the mission statement, you know, and kind of what we're gonna do here. And everybody buys in. So whether it was X's and O's, or all the way to be a good son, be a good sibling, right? Be a good classmate, be a good teammate, just have your act together on and off the court. That's kind of where it started. It all comes back to Coach Phelps. And I quote him often. So, kind of long-winded, but two big role models, you know, Coach Johnny Daniels and Coach Phelps. And I guess it's a testament to them because I still think of them often, and I still quote them in practice and use examples all the time. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Just because I've always felt like if I can get to your level, then I've made it. So that was, especially my first year, I was kind of on a boot, kind of just having fun with the kids and trying to teach them basketball. And then it kind of hit me when my team was all a bunch of seventh graders that my job is not just to teach them about basketball.
Right.
It's about to have fun with them on and off the court and make sure they're accountable on and off the court.
Right. Right.
So last year, with my big thing was, I don't care if we win a single game. As long as you play hard and that you can, your grades are as good as possible. So the next year, when you go into high school is easy.
Right.
Because you're disciplined and you work hard.
Right.
Because I don't need
I want all of you to make whatever team you try out for. So luckily I had 13 kids on my team, and 12 of them tried out, and all 12 of them made it.
Yep.
So that was really cool to see, because my thing is, like, sports keep you accountable for a lot of things that you do.
Right.
If you don't have sports, and you're an athlete but at a younger age, and you kind of fall off, it's difficult for something to hold you accountable except for your parents.
Right.
And, like, your parents, like, did you do your homework? You'd be like, yeah, just trust me, but I've been there before. And sports were always a thing where you don't get a good grade on this test, you can't play.
Yeah.
So it's,
you know, that's a good segue. So we talk about academics a lot at Hoosie because, hey, that's great. We're at, you know, we're 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8. You know, we're in middle school, we're in junior high, and kind of do your thing. But it's a different game at high school, right? Like, you have to produce or you will sit. Mm-hmm. You will be ineligible. And freshman year, I got a little lazy. Now, I was still passing all my classes, but hey, I was on the freshman team, which is a big thing. You know, 100 kids tried out for that team.
Wow.
So I'm starting point guard. I'm just kind of cruising. I think I'm all that. And we had to bring progress reports every Friday. So that was kind of the rule. Every Friday, you drop by coach's office. Here's my progress report from all your teachers. They had to basically kind of put your grade for the week. Did you have any attitude issues or anything like that? Did you miss homework? Did you miss class? Cut to the chase. Coach Phelps is not happy with me. He didn't like my performance for a couple of weeks, so he sat me.
Mm-hmm.
He sat me for a month. So here we are, preseason, a couple games into it, playing for one of the, you know, best programs in the Bay Area, and I'm sitting. And that was a tough, tough lesson for me to learn, because not only did I let myself down, but I let my teammates down. And I think we went 500 in that stretch. So I had fellas that wouldn't even talk to me. Like, these are guys that I played with at St. John's, guys I competed with in AAU. And they're like, oh, really? So you're not taking care of your business? And now, you know, now we're all feeling it. So at a very early age in high school, I figured it out. That you got to put it all together on and off the court. And I'll tell you, that never happened again after that. And again, we talk about that at Hoosie. A couple parents throughout the year got in my ear that, hey, kid's struggling here, not doing his homework, etc., not doing well. And we'd pause and have kind of a little conversation about all the things you need to take care of, because if you don't, you won't be playing next year, even if you make the team.
Wow.
Ineligible. So totally get it. Big message.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I go to a leadership, it's called Torch Club. I'm like, right after this, I'm going to Herbert Middle School to talk. We kind of do leadership stuff around Herbert and at the club. And my big thing is, because everyone has a cell phone and everybody has power on their cell phone.
Yep.
So I go, hey, let me see your grades.
Let me see your grades.
And you can tell how people start sweating, because they're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Guys, I understand, like, you gotta be, if school is hard, school is very hard for me, but you have to try. If my parents saw me not trying, I wouldn't play any sport. They would take me off every sports team. And then I would be sitting at home, doing my homework, watching my friends compete. Now I'm a competitor, so you gotta compete to be better than the next person in school and on the basketball court or on the soccer field, any softball diamond. It's just something that life is all about, competing for myself. So I'm trying to instill that, guys, like, you guys are going to be going to high school, and then freshman year you're going to be competing to see what your class rank is senior year. But if you don't compete now, you're going to be one of those kids that, oh, senior year I got to start trying.
Yeah.
But sophomore and junior year is where you're starting to look at colleges.
Right.
So if you can't compete now to get better grades, then it's going to be a tough road for you. And I'm not saying that I had to stay around here one extra year because of my car accident. And it was very difficult for me because I grew up with the same kids and we're in the same class and like was the closest I've ever been with a group.
Mm-hmm.
And just staying around here was difficult for me because I still had sports, luckily. But I didn't have really anybody to compete with.
Yeah.
Because I've competed with these kids my whole life.
Yeah.
And so I was like struggling at first because I mean, St. Joe was a great place where I had friends from seniors to eighth graders. Like, we're all a tight community. But it took me a while to kind of go from the 09 class to the 2010 class. And so I was just, I felt uncomfortable. I felt out of place. But then, like, my mom, I was just like, come on, keep competing. And so then that, I was like, okay, I need to go to college.
Yeah.
I'm one of 15 kids in my family, and all of us have gone to college. So if I don't go to college,
yep,
I'm never going to hear the end of it
from ever
at family dinners or anything.
That's right.
So that was kind of the competitive nature that I think the kids need. They want to compete playing video games. They want to do all this stuff, but compete in life.
That's right.
Which is something I try to tell them.
Yeah.
So, what is your feeling? I know you're a big basketball guy. What was your feeling about the whole, I don't know if you know the report about the lady telling LeBron James to shut up and dribble? So they had him, Kevin Durant, I forget who the host was, were all in the back seat of a car talking about...
I think it was Laura Ingraham, right?
Yeah.
On Fox News.
Yeah.
She told him to stay in his lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't listen to that channel. I don't watch that channel.
Nor do I, but it came up.
Yeah, I thought... I didn't get into the details of it just because I try to stay away from that negativity,
mm-hmm,
propaganda, whatever you may want to call it. But obviously, didn't think it was appropriate. I mean, look at LeBron James, right? Like, national spotlight is a sophomore, junior, senior, right, in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Jumps straight to the NBA. Speaks for himself on the court, arguably, depending on who you talk to, the GOAT, right? Mm-hmm. But look what he's done off the court also, right? Just a good family man, respectful, entrepreneur. You know, he's invested in a lot of different things outside of basketball. He's seems to have a great heart, gives back to the community, gives back to the kids, right? Like, that's what we're talking about. That's what it's about. Like, he can go on the court and do his thing. Did you see him the other night? I mean, it was like, you know, you're kind of sitting there in a timeout and you go, well, here we go.
Yep.
You know, right? Like, and for me, I'm much, much older than you, but that's what it was like with Michael Jordan, right? Because you just knew MJ was going to get the ball and that was going to be it. So it's kind of deja vu. But your direct question, I thought it was inappropriate. I thought it was ignorant for her to say that. And I think he and the other players, you know, that have a passion to have a voice off the court should continue because they are role models, right? And he's doing nothing but good things. I gotta tell you, he's really grown on me throughout the years in terms of just his athleticism, what he does on the court. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
That's just whatever. You and I are both hoopers. We get it. But the more I pay attention to what he does off the court and his voice, you know, he's really smart on social media, you know, really, really smart. Like, anybody could just kind of tweet and say something, but he's very thoughtful in his message because he's hitting the masses. And I'm a fan. I like him.
I was, at a young age, when he did the whole, I'm going to Miami thing, I didn't really, I understood what he was doing, because he needed some support, but I didn't like him, and I don't know why I didn't like him. I think I didn't like him because he was so good, and it's the same thing like with Kobe, but like now that social media is such a thing, and you can literally understand what LeBron's doing anywhere he goes,
yeah,
that it's just like, I've fallen in love with him on an not the court. The guy gets ripped apart for doing anything. But when he does something great, it's not talked about.
Yeah.
The man gave so much money to schools in Ohio that are not even up to close to par in the sense of education.
Yeah.
But that's not talked about.
Yeah.
It's talked about him flopping on a basketball
court. Yeah.
I understand sports is the end all be all for a lot of people, but you gotta start looking at people off the court, and you can't tell me that LeBron James is not one of the best role models of this generation.
Right.
For anybody, any type of person, sports, non-athletic person, if you don't even play basketball, it's just like, that's the president of basketball right now.
Right.
And he's the guy that you can look at him, you can try to find flaws, oh, he's humongous and he flops, or he's a crybaby, he's not, whatever. He does so much for everybody outside of sports that we have to literally, when you see him, just clap for him, because it's just, he has money. A lot of people have money, but they don't choose to do as much as he's doing for our nation. And so that's kind of the same thing. I have the same kind of feeling towards him, that he grew on me, and just, it's fun to watch, because when I get, hopefully when I make it to 50 years old, I can say, hey, I watched one of the best, or arguably the best player of all time.
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate to, you know, again, I'm much older, to see a few different generations of basketball. It's exciting to watch him and the countless other guys in the NBA as well. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing on the court, right?
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Pretty cool.
What is the argument I kind of get into? Is it about the players, or is it about the coach?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously the players and their athleticism and their skill, right? That's a no-brainer. But look at the Celtics. You know, I mean, I liked Brad when he was at Butler, right? Like, I'm a junkie. I will put the kids down, and I'll watch a West Coast game, because I'm a West Coast guy. I'll watch Cal and, you know, Oregon State at midnight on ESPN, right? And X's and O's. I love it. And so I was a fan of his when he was at Butler, but, you know, did anyone think the Celtics would be, you know, up 1-0 in the second round of the playoffs? Now, certainly those guys are all NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I know this. Even the lowest ranking player in the NBA would come to the club and drop 100 on us, right? I mean, that's how good these guys are, right? But to your question, I think it's a combo. And when both buy in, when the coach buys into the players and the players buy into the coach and the overall mission statement, right, it's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. You can, and you've been there, you can have all the talent in the world. You know, at the end of the day, you put my five against your five, we're going to lace up and let's jump. But you've got to be aligned, you know. You have to trust each other on the court and on the bench.
Yeah.
So I think it's a combo, but I think that coach is pretty much the CEO, and everyone buys into it. And when it happens, it's a beautiful thing, right?
Well, that's kind of how I looked at last year with you. And your team, and like, knowing, I know you have Dion and Ty, and I was like, guys, you know what we have to do. We're not going to shut them down. We just have to make sure everything that they do is very difficult.
Yeah. You guys made it difficult.
It got to the point where I was like, who is this kid? I don't even know his name. He was a big guy.
Sam Jaffe.
Yeah. And from the beginning of the season, when we played you guys, he was like, eh. Like, and then we played you the last game of the season, I was like, oh my God.
Like, he was a beast.
Yeah. And I was like, Jack, you got to help us out here, man. The kid's killing us. Oh, he's not. I didn't even know he was that good. And I was like, it doesn't matter. Now it's all about effort. But that's just from me to you. It's just like coaching. Like, if you can take a kid who might have been intimidated because we're the club the first game and take him to the end of the season where he is dominating / like, I'm looking at Cam, I'm like, if you take Jack out of the game, what's going to happen? But that's my thing. If you can get a kid to buy into what you want, and like, you know that this kid knows you have his back, everything's going to work out later.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same way I try to coach. I don't coach anymore, but I try to coach the kids anytime they walk through the club.
Yeah.
If it's please or thank you, if it's being disrespectful, if it's us going in the workout room and saying, hey, my big thing is working out doesn't start until you're dead tired.
Yeah.
So you just did 10 reps and you're crying, sweating. Let's try to do as many as we can right now.
Yeah.
That's working out.
Yeah.
Like, it's all cute to, oh yeah, what's up? But then when you get to the point where you're dying and it's all mental, I'm like, you gotta mentally push through this. Because I always tell them there's always somebody else working harder than
you. That's right, So it's funny you mentioned that last game, because you guys beat us that last game. At Berkshire School, I can remember pretty much every possession of every game we've ever played over the years. I'm kind of rain man like that. And Jack and Sam battled. That was a good one. Sam is a great example. You know, he's a three-sport athlete. He plays, he goes to Berkshire School. He played basketball, football, and baseball. He can crush a baseball. I mean, you can imagine, right? Yes, all good.
Anything else I can get for you today? No, I should take your time.
Thank you.
You know, good body, good size, really strong, as you saw. But, it's so funny you mentioned him, Dan, because I used him as an example this year. I like the boys to jump rope, right? I think it's really, really good for cardio, but it's great for your feet. You can also get the weight to jump rope, so you can get the strength in your arms. That helps with your shot, etc. And so it was probably the first week of practice, and I made everybody get in half court and jump rope for 15 seconds. And, you know, a handful of them got in there, and it was like riding a bike or jumping in the pool. And a couple of them, you could tell their ego was hit a little bit. They didn't want to do it. They were embarrassed. They were trying to act like, you know, oh, I'm not going to be serious. No big deal. Oh, I don't care. Sam, his first round there, you know, just straight up didn't do a good job. Where if he was awkward, he didn't really know how to skip rope. But we pulled him aside and I said, Sam, you're a smart kid. You have a good IQ on and off the court. You have a great work ethic. I mean, he was always the guy that, you know, during the huddle would just be dripping in sweat because he's working so hard, right? I mean, he wanted to get better. At the end of the year, when we jumped rope, I mean, he looked like a prize fighter. I mean, he was literally skipping left foot, right foot, looping it up, and he still will walk up to me. And I'm sure you get this when you see kids that have, you know, moved on, and they still come up to you, and they give you a hug, and they say, what's up, coach, and you get caught up. He'll still say he's jumping rope. I mean, it's just awesome, right? And he bought in, and you're right, he did get better. And while we were very talented, and I was fortunate to have a couple of really top-notch players on that team, the key was those other 10 boys getting better as well. So when we played you guys in the finals, look, we all knew you gotta get on Deion and Ty, right? But if you look at the book in those last two games, in the quarters and the finals, you guys did an awesome job of containing them. The other guy stepped up.
Absolutely.
The other guy stepped up. Now, if we're just playing 2-on-5, we lose every single game.
Absolutely.
But if we play 5 guys and they all contribute, and you sprinkle out the points, that's as you know, when 5 guys are contributing, it's tough to beat, right? That was an awesome game, by the way. Both of those games were just...
The one that I missed was in the Greylock. And
the quarterfinal.
At the Berkshire County, or was it the Berkshire? Yeah, it was.
It was Berkshire County.
And I was like, face one of the...
You guys were up 12.
Really?
Late in the third, yeah. It was an awesome game.
And then your son, I guess, like, just was lights out from the 3-point line. And I was like, well, come on, everybody knew that. You can't let a good shooter, like, get hot, because then it's...
You know, it's interesting you say that. So, coach's son, right? All the stereotypes and everything. That was the first game he started all year.
Mm-hmm.
He worked really hard, really got his butt kicked by Dion and Ty and Karen and those guys, and he became better. But we knew we had to mix it up, because I knew that you guys were going to come out. Club kids always come out, and we had really good rivalries. So that was kind of, I was like, I'm going to see if I can pull something out of my back pocket here. And we got lucky. And his hard work, it all paid off. But yeah, we kind of mixed it up that game, and I rolled the dice a little bit and got lucky.
Yeah, that
came in my favor.
Cam was like, damn, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, coach's son just killed us. And I was like, respect.
You know what's great about that is at the end of the game, like, I remember Sincere getting in line, coming up and give me a hug, and E-Man and Lee, all those guys. Just, there was great respect on that floor. You know, Hoosie, Club, Finers, 7th, 8th grade. You know, these boys have been playing youth league for a long time. We kind of formed this nice little rivalry, you know, starting in 6th grade when Brenda was coaching. And it didn't matter, because you guys ended up getting us 2 weeks later in our tournament, right? But the greatest thing is that there was no BS.
Oh, yeah.
It was just 25 kids on both teams showing up, playing hard, playing well, respectful. And at the end, shaking hands, right? And, like, see you next time. That's what it's about. And even this year, I went to Monument. I saw PHS come. I saw Taconic. And see those kids growing now and suiting up at the high school level and waving to them or getting a hug from them. That's what it's all about.
Dion walked into the club. I go, hey, Rob, is this, you sure you're in the right place? And just having a good time. It's still always going to be a rivalry for me, because I say, hey, Sid, like, isn't Dion better than you? And I say the same thing to Dion.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's great for two kids that are that good to keep pushing each other,
right,
and they respect each other. And it's like, it's great competition.
Yeah.
It's just competing.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was the coolest thing that for me was when Ty and Dion got announced, and all our kids just stood up.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
that's so cool.
It's respect, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
It's cool. And look, I haven't been here long enough to know. I'll never be a local. You know, Hoosie's had a strong program for many years, but I really liked what we did kind of integrating with you those few years, like those Sunday morning workouts
at
the club. Like, on the court, was it great? Yeah, kids were balling, right? To the point where I can't even run with them anymore. Like, okay, you guys are too good. But just seeing the interactions off the court, like when we were done working out, seeing the kids talking and seeing them bump into each other on the soccer field or on the baseball field and everything's cool, like that's good stuff right there. And then they start following each other on social media, and, you know, they're all buddies. Just breaking down those barriers. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't be Hoosie, you can't be Club, we can't compete and go at it to the buzzer, but also be, you know, be good friends and, you know, just build relationships. Who knows, you guys could be, you know, Sid and Dion and Ty could be playing on the same team in college one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's good stuff.
Definitely.
And back at you and Coach Cam and the other coaches at the club, you guys have done a nice job molding those kids and getting them there.
You're trying every day. So what? I know you're... What do you think you having kids? What do you think is, like, the hardest? What is something very challenging that you see kids nowadays have to go through kind of to grow? I always say you grow through what you go through. So, like, everyone wants to blame social media for everything. I'm in the sense of social media will be at the forefront of their lives until something else bigger and better comes out. So I say instead of saying all social media is bad, I just say instead of making it such a bad thing, try to make positivity louder than all the negativity that goes on. So that's kind of, I don't know, not the best question, but like, what do you see like as challenges for your son or kids that you have coached gonna have to go through right now?
I think it's a great question. So, you know, in my professional life, I'm involved in technology. I've been in technology for 30 years. So speaking of social media, if you are watching television or you are looking at your iPad or your desktop or your iPhone, probably 80% of the video commercials that you see are delivered through my company and via our cloud platform, right down to the user level. So it's interesting when, you know, like we talk about social media. Social media is, you know, terrible, but or you know, whatever. You know, I'm in that ecosystem, right? I mean, if you go to ESPN right now, you're gonna see, you know, before you see the clip of the game last night, you're gonna see a 30-second Old Spice commercial that was, you know, produced by Wieden and Kennedy in Oregon, uploaded to us, QC'd, and delivered right to your phone. So I'm in it, right? And I agree with you. I think it's easy to just say, oh, you know, social media, you know, and technology, but at the same time, technology, you know, changes generations. I think it's just balance. Like, as a father of three boys, right, 14, 12, and 6, thank you. It's just balance. Kids are kids. I talk to a lot of my friends back home whose kids are older and they're in high school, for example, and I'll say, look, just break it down. I'm going to be there pretty soon. I know what we did when we were in high school. Things changed, and no, things haven't changed. Kids are kids. They're still doing what they do, both good and bad. But I think we just have more at our disposal right now, right? It's 24/7 access to information. So I think it's just a really, you know, my biggest challenge as a parent, as a coach, is just balance. And I got to practice what I preach because I've dealt with that as well personally. It's just balance, right? So I think these kids just have so much at their fingertips. And I don't mean just technology and their phones. I just mean there's just so much going on with school and with their social, not technology, just their friends, their social life, and their academics, and so many sports. You know, I know kids right now, including mine, that are playing, oh, we're playing spring soccer, we're playing Little League, we're playing AAU, we're playing, you know, we're playing soccer. So it's just really, really good balance. One thing we're trying to do as a family, I'm no expert, but it's just really slow down. Really, really slow down. Just kind of look at the family unit. What are we doing? When? Making sure we just have some downtime together and just kind of chill and have no pressures, you know? And if we can get that for a couple hours, maybe one or two nights a week, that's pretty awesome, you know? But I think these kids just have a lot going on. I mean, there were some, like during basketball season, there were some practices where the kids were just so burnt. I could just tell whether it was just from school and extracurricular activities we had where we would just take it down a notch. You know, just kind of a little light workout, maybe sit down and talk about a couple of things and let them go and tell them to go home and eat well and get a good night's sleep, just have balance. I don't know if I answered that correctly, but...
I think balance is the key. I mean, I go out to eat with my friends and I say, put your cell phones away. Because I don't go out to eat with your cell phone. I go out to eat with you. And I never want to. And I like been to places where they'll talk to each other for 2 minutes and then they'll just be. And it's just like, how's that going out to eat? And like everyone's like, oh, we're losing human interaction. And I was like, I don't know if that's really what we're losing. I just think we're losing the sense of balance, the sense of a new generation. When I was your age, I didn't have a cell phone. Okay. But they do.
Yeah, they do.
And now, like, 8-year-olds, 5-year-olds are having cell phones.
Yeah.
So now that they do, we have to find a way to get them the sense of balance. Like, my big thing is at the clubs trying to create programs where technology can be involved. So a selfie scavenger, they go out throughout the whole club taking selfies of things that there's clues that they have to find a certain person. And the kids love it. It's just we have to adapt to now what this generation is used to. They're used to having their cell phones on at all times. They're used to being able to take a picture and upload it in 4 seconds. So it's just finding the balance of, hey, like, do your thing, but let's also come over here and have some fun.
Yeah.
Even though their cell phone to them is very fun, let's also do something out of the ordinary. Go kick a soccer ball around, throw a football around.
Yeah.
Do art, music, anything. So that's the sense. I agree with you totally. The sense of if you find balance for even an hour, it's like,
yeah.
I listen to a motivational quote, or speeches every morning, and they're like, when you wake up, do what you want to do for an hour without looking at yourself. And I did it yesterday, and my whole world was like really weird, because normally I wake up and I got put a poll on Instagram and I put a Facebook question up, but like I just didn't do it. And I just took my iPad to the gym, listened to music, and I was like, this is kind of cool.
Kind of cool, right?
There's no strings attached. There's nothing. Left my cell phone home. All right, let's have fun. So, I think it's just a whole big thing about finding balance in life.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. You listen to a lot of podcasts?
No, it's more of, I will go on YouTube and listen to a few. I listen to the same inspirational things 5 minutes every morning, and then I'll go to the club, and one of the maintenance supervisor, Kice, he works out in the dark, and I was like, this is weird. But then, like, when I worked out in the dark with him, it was just like, oh my god, like, this is like, it feels so good. So now, like, I work out in the dark, and like, listening to the words are just more impactful, I guess, than kind of when the lights are on. I don't know, it's just different. So I love motivational stuff,
because
it's the coolest thing for me. One of the great questions I always have is, do you believe in motivation?
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I think I
believe in motivation to a certain extent. I believe if you want to be in shape and you listen to some motivational speech, it'll work for that day.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's all about your priorities.
Yeah.
So if being in shape is your priority, then you're going to try your best to be in shape, like top priority. If you're motivated, like I can get motivated for an hour, but then it's like, hey, you want to pay your bills? And you're like, ha ha ha, not really. I'll push that off. So that my big thing is, I don't think there's...
It's follow through.
Yeah. It's kind of just like your priorities and then following through with them.
Because
like I was like, I can motivate, I can talk to you, I can motivate you to be great, but until you want to be great for yourself, there's nothing I can do.
What do you think?
And that's the same thing I tell all my kids. And like it was weird for me not to coach this year, but it was also great because instead of just being very impactful on 10 to 13 kids, it was more of like the broad, like, hey, this is what we're gonna try to do.
Right.
This is what we're moving forward.
It's so funny you're saying this. I was talking to some friends. I went back home and spent a week after the hoop season. And you know, between basketball, as you know, right, volunteer coach, full time job, on top of my professional job, where you know I have 300 people on my team. nationwide. It's a lot, right? Then there's this thing called winter here, right? Which, being from the West Coast and being here 20 years, I'll never get used to it. I have a tendency in February. I'm a little dark and I'm ready. But back to my point, I was in California and I was having dinner with some friends, and of course we were talking hoop. And they were like, so, okay, you play 40 games this year, whatever it was. What are you saying to your team, you know, pregame in Saratoga, you know, last weekend? And you'll appreciate this. Like, I don't really have a speech anymore. I don't have anything to say. We've been working 6 months for this. You know what we're going to do. You know everything that I'm going to say. Like, if I have to motivate you right now, then
just go sit.
Yeah, so literally as we kind of wind down those last tournaments, those are very, very quick pregame speeches. Mm-hmm. Are we all here? Do we have our uniforms? We tucked in? Okay, ready to go? Like, all right, it's like, you know, in the beginning of the year, your whiteboard is totally filled up, right? You don't have enough space to write. And at the end of the year, it's 1, 2, 3. Like, to your point, right?
Absolutely.
There's nothing more I can tell you. You're either bought in and we're cool, and we'll go do this, win or lose, but, you know, we'll go do it, or not.
Absolutely.
You know, if I say anything else, I'm done, so. Plus, I'm just exhausted by the end of the year. I'm old. I'm not getting any younger. But March, my energy level is shot.
It's very difficult to, like, being a full-time employee of the club and being a coach, and, like, you've never had a weekend to yourself for that 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. That's literally why I went to California. Like, yeah. Like, God bless my wife. She was like, you've been flat out. Like, not only, and look, you get the drill. Not only do I coach the 7-8, I'm the junior coordinator. I run the Pee Wee programs on Saturdays, which is awesome. Like, is there anything better than watching those kids? And then I'm the president of Hoosie as well, right? It's a lot of work. So, speaking of, you know, like going offline, I went to California and went offline. Like, I took down.
Yep.
I'm offline. Good. I'm going to chill, breathe, go for a hike, see my friends, see my family. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
That is great. Do you think that we, because we're kind of in like a small community in like Berkshire County, you think that we put too much, too much pressure on kids to perform at the high school level because they want to go and play at the college level, I guess. Like, you think, I know sports is huge in America, period. But you think because sports are so big and everybody wants to be at the next level, do you think we put too much pressure on kids? Or do we put too much pressure on kids to be great athletes or better students?
It's a good question, and I think overall, to answer your question, I think parents put too much emphasis on the greatness at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of them played in college?
Yeah.
By the way, right? As you and I both know, it's a very, very small percentage of student athletes that play D1, 2, or 3. I think we're in a culture now where there's a lot more pressure on kids to excel at the high school level.
Yeah.
I can't obviously speak for everybody. You know, my kids aren't even in high school yet. If they want to play basketball or soccer or track or play the cello, whatever it is they want to do, I want them, you know, to most importantly have fun. And then support them as much as I can. But, you know, I come from a It's interesting how you started the question off, like Berkshire County, small local. Like, I grew up in a big pond, right? Like, I grew up in Oakland. I mean, I said it earlier, 100 kids tried out for the freshman team. You know what I mean? So I've seen it. I've seen how hard it is. I mean, I played junior college. I played on, you know, a great high school team. Played junior college and then was done.
Wow.
That was it. Like, done. Right? I mean, cut.
Yes.
You're done. And you better have your academics to fall on. So I've kind of seen it firsthand how difficult it is. And thankfully, I paid attention to my academics and I was able to get my college degree and kind of moved on. It all worked out well. To bring it back to your question, I think there's a lot of pressure right now for young boys and girls, sports. Some of them do have that good balance where they're excelling on the field and they're doing the grades. I think a lot of parents are going to be let down also when they realize that, you know, the next level is really tough to get to. I mean, you really have to be top notch at whatever it is. That you're playing to get to that next level.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I know the club does a great job of this, and we're trying to do this as well at Hoosie, is get, you know, specifically for basketball, get them out of Berkshire County. Right? And that's not a knock on Berkshire County basketball, by the way, because there's some excellent teams here, really good competition, and, you know, good coaches and all that stuff. But you go to Springfield, and it opens up a little bit more. You go a little bit further east, you go to Holyoke, it opens up a little bit more. You get to Worcester, you get to Boston, right? And
you realize.
You realize. That's what we're trying to do in AAU as well. I can care less if we win. You know, it's a young team. It's a U-12 team. It's just introducing these boys to different levels of talent. Right? And adversity and grow from that. Like, I don't care if we go 0-12, but if you competed and you saw kids in your same age level and you saw how good they were and maybe they dominated you or whatever, now you've got a benchmark and you've got something to work towards, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the coolest thing in the world. Is, like, last year our team was talented, like, one of 13. And I was like, this is going to be a fun year. We go out to Springfield, to the hoop hall. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got this.
I appreciate it. So we go to the hoop hall. And we make the semifinals. Yeah, we're in the semifinals. It's like, okay, we've seen this team play. Like, they're really good. We lost 65-19.
I remember you telling me that.
I was... As a coach, I didn't know what to do. And then I realized, like, probably 10 minutes into the game, I was like,
we're all set.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day.
They are just, you two, flat out better basketball players than us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I literally bring that up all the time. Yeah. Even now.
Yeah.
Sid walks into the club, E-Man, Jack, Marvin, Johan. Remember that 65-19 game? Why are you not shooting around right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to go to Western Mass, I bet you're going to find one or two of these kids.
They're going
to
be there.
Playing in the cage against you. And they're going to remember you because they're going to giggle and laugh. Oh, you're on that team.
I love that you mentioned this. You had given me a heads up about some teams. I'd said, hey, I'm going to Chicopee or something, and I'm playing, and I said I was going to play Holyoke. And I remember you kind of rolled your eyes and whistled. They beat us by 44. I think we had won probably 20 games in a row, 5 tournaments in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They beat us by 44. They were clowning us in the last 2 minutes, full court pressing my second team, trying to get 100. I had to burn 3 timeouts in the fourth quarter to tell my guys to have composure and don't let them get 100 on us. Beat us by 40. We were in the tank, tears, all that stuff. They were bigger, stronger, fat, all that. And most importantly, they were talking smack.
Yeah.
It was awesome. They were in our dish. But it was pool play. and we got them in the championship. Now, we lost by 16. We went from, I think, a 46-point loss to 16. Mm-hmm. Competed. Now, they were just better, right? Yeah. They were just a better team. We just, at the end, we ran out of gas. But these are one of these things I'll never forget. I'll never forget that post-game speech in the locker room. Had you walked in there, Coach, you would not have believed we just lost by 16, right? I mean, and so that was the learning experience. Like they're better. So more power to them. They are a better team individually, all that stuff. But we went from 46 to 16 and competed until the last couple of minutes. And that's how you learn. And just like you said, so, oh, now you're in here working out and you're kind of going half speed. Yeah, you're going to see those guys at Western Mass at the cage, right? So you better take it up a notch.
Absolutely. So I think that's the coolest thing in the world.
That was a great. In fact, we still back. With that team in this year, every once in a while, all I will say is Holyoke. That's all I'll say is Holyoke. And everybody will just lock in on me and be like, that's right, coach. Then to turn it all the way back to your original question, my assistant coach at O'Dowd, Mike Bowler, mm-hmm. he's currently the AD, he went to Holyoke High School. So straight out of college, went to Holyoke, and I think he went to UMass. Ended up in the Bay Area as my history teacher. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm from Holyoke. I'm like, where? I'm like, what? And so every time I see Holyoke and I see that purple, I take a picture on my phone and send it to him. So this is, you know, 30-something years later. Mm-hmm. So he was Phelps, the head coach's assistant. And 30 years later, I'm still dropping him a note, just letting him know that I'm thinking about him, right? Because awesome. He had a huge impact on me.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so cool. The coolest thing in the world is to have a group of kids that had to go through something pretty difficult, and then you can use it as motivation or as, hey guys, I'm gonna bet you right now. And that's all I kept saying to my kids, because I go to Springfield College and I got to work at SciTech and Central and just being in after school programs and watching the amount of kids in the basketball gym and working out. 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade. And I keep trying to tell them, there's a different mentality for them because this is the only way that they're going to get out of their situation. So think about how hard it, if you had a situation and the only way you could get out is through schoolwork and sports, think about how much harder you work. Right now you're kind of passive because, oh, the season's far away, I don't really have to do much, I'm good.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to be another name that was pretty good in Berkshire County.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to the next level. You might sit. I'm good friends with John Yankee and Chad Shade, and they went to Springfield College. And now they're two of the best athletes there. But if I were to tell you that John Yankee was our ball boy when I was a sophomore in high school, and he was 104, not even 104 pounds.
Right.
Like 52 pounds soaking wet. And to see him now as the best athlete from his friends, the best athlete in the whole school.
Yep.
As a football player, and he's just a tank. And then Chad is going to be the starting quarterback next year.
Yep.
And he's on the baseball team, like Jack Lee. And it's just awesome to see kids that have worked their whole lives to be that good.
Yeah.
So I can tell my kids, you want to go play D1? Beat Johnny Bianchi, then you can go play D1. You want to go D2, beat Johnny Bianchi.
Yeah.
Or Chad.
Yeah.
Or Jack. Then you can go D1. Or Deontay Sandefur. He's at Springfield College right now. They went to the national semifinals for Division 3.
Yeah, they did.
The first time ever.
Yeah.
For a long time. Beat them. That's your benchmark. Like you said, that's where you have to be. If you can beat them, then now find another benchmark.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the coolest thing, is having kids that you can be like, if you're better than them, don't get me wrong, I'll let you know. But if you can beat them, now you got to set a new benchmark.
Yeah.
And I bet you they're working right now. They've been working at 5 a.m. while you were sleeping. You don't want it that much.
That's right.
So, Coach, I actually have to go to Herbert right now.
Reality sets in.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Coach.
It was good talking with you. All right, podcast listeners, we are out. Have a good day.